world's becoming a dangerous place for us women. Lipstick Bodyguard looks just like an innocent little lipstick, but it'll instantly drop any attacker to his knees so you can get away unharmed. Lipstick Bodyguard, fear no evil. Get yours today, only at lipstickbodyguard.com.
This week on Parents Are Hard to Raise, Diane answers questions from listeners in New Jersey and Alberta, Canada, on topics ranging from adult daycare to post-stroke dementia.
Welcome to Parents Are Hard to Raise, helping families grow older together without losing their minds. I'm elder care expert Diane Berardi. Just a little update. My dad, Joe, is doing well. He's home and he's back into his routine and he's on some new medicines and he's doing okay. So I know you heard my emergency room saga last week. So I've been receiving so many emails and thank you so much. And I'm trying to get to them. So this week I decided to, you know, read a few and see if I can, you know, answer questions for you, and hopefully it will help everyone. So I received an email from Tara from Princeton, New Jersey, and she wrote, "My mom recently moved in with us because she was becoming more and more forgetful, and we felt she shouldn't be alone. We were worried about her safety. I quit my job and am home with her all day and night, every day of the week. My mom seems to need constant activity, otherwise she'll sleep all day and be up all night. Financially, we're struggling, and we decided in January that I have to go back to work, at least part-time, but we're not sure now what to do. We don't have any relatives who can come and stay with Mom, or that we could bring Mom to during the day. I've been listening to your shows, and you mentioned home care as an option. Is that the best option for Mom, and is that the only option you would suggest?" Well, I would suggest one of two options. And, you know, depending, your choice would depend on, you know, what your mom wanted to do and you and what she can do. So, yes, home care is an option. And you can have a home health aide come in and stay with her while you're at work if she wants to stay home. And the good thing about this option is if you are helping your mom with any, you know, personal care, if you're helping her shower and dress, then, you know, the home health aide can do that before, so you can get ready for work if, you know, you're going back to work in the morning, et cetera. So that's one thing. Also, that option is great in the winter. You know, we're in New Jersey, it gets cold, snow, you know, and if mom doesn't want to go out in the winter months, then, you know, that can help. I know a lot of times people have a kind of a negative idea about home care, and very well so if you've not gone to the right service. You could have a poor impression or an idea that all home care is the same or all companies are the same. So, you know, the company I use and I refer to, MedX, they have great caregivers. And I was thinking about it the other day, you know, Thanksgiving's coming, and I think about what those caregivers do. And, you know, I think about the patients that, clients of mine that they've helped and the wonderful job they do, because they really, really take it to heart what they do. They're very serious about what they do. And they've, just last week, I got two calls from, you know, a VNA saying, you know, they did a great job. They called their nurses and said, you know, there were emergencies in the home. They caught things that maybe you wouldn't have caught. And they really, you know, they can really save someone's life. They can do that by catching things that you may not catch. And you know, services, if you're referred to a good service, they're going to pick a person. They're going to choose a person for your mom that matches your mom as best you can. You know, your mom is in her 80s, and depending on what she wants, some people in their 80s want a young person. Some people want more a person their own age. So they're going to try to match that. So I just want you to be aware of that. The second option, Tara, that I would suggest, if your mom is social and wants to be out and, you know, wants to be among other people and be active with other people, there's adult daycare or adult day centers. I hate the name adult daycare. I just don't like, you know, what we picture with that. But a lot of places are now changing their names to adult day centers. And when I talk to, you know, people's mom and dad about that, I try not to label it, you know, adult day centers. I just tell them, you know, there's a place you go. It's a social place for adults where you meet regularly with people, you know, your own age, and you eat, you talk, you listen to speakers, you have music activities, you know, depending on the place you choose. So these adult day centers, they were designed specifically for, you know, giving mom a safe place to be with supervision. You know, if mom wants to socialize with other people, have companionship, recreation, you know, they have activities, you know, for cognitive reasons, for physical reasons, they eat together. You know, hours vary, days vary. Some even have evening and weekends for people. These adult day centers not only are great for mom, but they're great for us kids because they give us peace of mind. They can, you know, if you're at work, you know mom is being taken care of. She's safe. She's active. If you're home, you know, with mom all the time, it's a relief. You know, you can have mom go, and that gives you a break. Most offer meals, transportation, activities to and from. You know, the person with, you know, depending on what type of daycare you go to, typically, you know, if your mom uses a walker or a cane, that's okay, even if she's in a wheelchair. But sometimes they have to be able to get in and out of, you know, the van or the bus, depending on the daycare. There's different types of adult day centers. There's social ones, and that's just, you know, if mom just needs assistance and supervision and she just has to be safe, but she can do activities. They have typically structured programs. They're keeping mom mentally and physically active, so mom's not isolated, you know, at home. She has companionship. She can make friends. They eat together. The thing I love about these adult day centers is, you know, mom, these people that attend, mom and dad who attend, they don't have to hide their shortcomings. You know, they're with people just like themselves. So they're going in, and, you know, where my office is, there is an adult day center in the same building. And I watch people come in and out, you know, and I watch people for the first time going in, and they're a little tentative. If, you know, they're using a walker, if they have a little bit of a memory problem, and I watch them, you know, when they first go in, and then I love to watch them as they've been there. You know, they're very tentative when they first go in, but then when they've been there, you know, there's one guy who walks in all the time, and he's just racing with that rolling walker and saying hi to everybody in the hall, you know, and he walks in, and it reminds me of Cheers, because everybody just shouts out, "Hi, George," you know, and he's like, "Hi, good morning, everyone." He's just so happy to be there. It's just so great, you know, to watch him. And you know, they have different activities, and they're with people just like themselves. And, you know, it's good for mom if she had to give up certain activities, you know, if she had to give up certain things that she used to do, because now, you know, they're in a place where maybe, you know, where cooking is replaced by some activity that they do there. So they don't feel like, you know, they just that they can't do anything and they're just, you know, sitting. So now, these adult day centers aren't for everyone. You know, I remember my grandfather, of course, they didn't have these back then, you know, when he was alive, but they had these senior centers where, you know, you could bring your parent or your grandparent to go. And I don't exactly remember what they used to do there, but they used to have some kind of activities. I don't know if they played bingo or whatever they did, you know. And my grandfather, we encouraged him to go, you know, because he used to just sit at home, but he liked doing that. He was happy doing that, but we felt, no, we got to get him out there, you know, socializing. And so we brought him the one time, you know, and then when we went to pick him up, I went to pick him up and I'm like, you know, I thought, he probably had a great time, you know. And he got in the car and I'm like, Grandpa, you know, how was that? And he's like, there's old people in there. You know, he was 88 years old himself. He's like, I don't want to be sitting there with old people all day. So it's not for everyone, but it just depends, you know, on your mom or dad. The second type of, you know, adult day centers they have medical ones where, you know, your mom or dad may have a medical issue, a medical condition that may need care from a nurse or a therapist. So some of them, you know, are these medical daycares where medications can be administered. You know, maybe if your mom's a diabetic and has to have insulin, you know, twice a day or whatever, or some of them have a therapist there. So they still are emphasizing, you know, they want people to be socialized and safe and have activities, but they may need more medical attention. And then there's also the dementia day centers where they're specialized to meet the needs of mom and dad who have, you know, memory loss, memory problems, dementia. And any type of daycare, they vary, you know, from state to state. And typically mom and dad have to be assessed for their physical, mental abilities and their needs. And, you know, they'll let you know if this particular daycare is good for mom or dad. They're governed by state regulations. They typically have a social worker, a nurse, some aides, some recreation director sometimes, and volunteers a lot of times. Their costs vary depending on how the facility is funded and, you know, how many hours or days mom and dad is going and the level of care in those day centers. Unfortunately, Medicare Parts A and B do not cover adult day centers. Some of the Medicare Advantage plans may cover them. Some long-term care policies may cover them. There's a lot of state, I know in New Jersey, you know, state programs, for instance, Medicaid, veterans, VA benefits may also cover adult day centers. It's the average participant in adult day centers is a 76-year-old female living with a spouse or an adult child. 50% of them have some form of cognitive impairment, and more than half require assistance with at least two activities of daily living. What those are, you know, maybe eating, or maybe help, you know, going to the bathroom. So how do I find out about adult daycare centers and what questions to ask? I'll tell you that right after I tell you about Lipstick Bodyguard. I want to tell you about my friend Katie. Katie is a nurse, and she was attacked on her way home from work. She was totally taken by surprise, and although Katie is only 5 feet tall and 106 pounds, she was easily able to drop her 6'4", 250-pound attacker to his knees and get away unharmed. Katie wasn't just lucky that day. She was prepared. In her pocketbook, a harmless-looking lipstick, which really contained a powerful man-stopping aerosol propellant. It's not like it was in our grandmother's day. Today, just going to and from work or to the mall can have tragic consequences. The FBI says a violent crime is committed every 15 seconds in the United States, and a forcible rape happens every 5 minutes. And chances are, when something happens, no one will be around to help. It looks just like a lipstick, so no one will suspect a thing. Which is important since experts say getting the jump on your attacker is all about the element of surprise. Inside this innocent-looking lipstick is the same powerful stuff used by police and the military to disarm even the most powerful armed aggressor. In fact, National Park Rangers use the very same formula that's inside this little lipstick to stop 2,000-pound vicious grizzly bears dead in their tracks. It's like carrying a personal bodyguard with you, in your purse or your pocket. Darkness brings danger. Muggers and rapists use darkness to their advantage. We all know what it's like to be walking at night and hear footsteps coming at us from behind. Who's there? If it's somebody bad, will you be protected? Your life may depend on it. My friend Katie's close call needs to be a wake-up call for all of us, myself included. Pick up a lipstick bodyguard and keep it with you always.
You're listening to Parents Are Hard to Raise. Now, thanks to our listeners, the most listened to elder care broadcast the world over.
So how do I find out about adult day centers? Well, you can always call a gerontologist like myself to meet with you and your mom, you know, and give you options and find suitable choices for you. But I did put on our website, parentsarehardtoraise.org, the questions you want to ask and important factors to consider, you know, when you're going, because you want to visit places and you want to look for certain things. You want to ask certain questions, you know, about what type of clients, you know, the daycare services, you know, transportation, meals, what kind of activities, you know, how is the staff trained, you know, is there a physician on staff, nurses, you know, you're going to take note, obviously, of the place. How is the staff engaged with, you know, the clients that are in there? And, you know, when you decide on a daycare, you go visit with your parent, and you know, just tell them, geez, I'd like to visit a few times. You want to have lunch if that's the meal, you know, and you want to just sit there, you know, through the period of time that your mom would be there and see what goes on, and give it at least a month, at least twice a week, a month trial, you know, for mom to try it. And a lot of times, you know, your parent may be resistant, especially, you know, if there's dementia, that they may not want to go, they may not look forward to it. But a lot of times, you know, after they've gone, you know, twice a week for about a month, they're in that routine and they look forward to it. So, you know, give it a try. Go on the website and, you know, you'll have all the questions and all the things to look for. A little FYI before I get to another email. There's a big, we had talked about in the previous show, those hospital acquired infections. And there's a big focus now on people going into the ER and having CT scans done, you know, for instance, and contracting infections. So, because what they've been finding is that those machines are not being cleaned properly. So when mom and dad go into the ER and they need, you know, a CT scan or some type, you know, of test, just make sure, you know, I know people are going to look at you, you know, but you want to say, was that machine cleaned from the last patient? It's very important. Or, you know, I want to see that you clean that machine. I want to see you cleaning that machine. I know they're going to think, you know, you're being a pest and a pain, but say, hey, you know, I'm worried about hospital acquired infections. You know, I'm aware that they are there. So that's just a little FYI update. So now I want to go to another email from Georgette from Alberta, Canada. Dad had a stroke 6 months ago, and the worst part seems to be a personality change. We're at our wit's end trying to reason with him. Any suggestions? Well, I know this is tough because, you know, when we think of someone having a stroke, we often just think of how the stroke affects them physically, you know, that maybe they're paralyzed on one side of the body, or, you know, they have difficulty speaking, and, you know, they have physical therapy or occupational therapy or speech therapy. And, you know, but we don't think about that in some people there are emotional and behavioral changes as a result of a stroke. And whether a stroke affects your thinking and reasoning depends on the stroke severity and the location of the stroke. So vascular dementia is a common post-stroke problem. And that's the second most common form of dementia after Alzheimer's. And it's caused when a stroke or, you know, small blood vessel diseases affect the blood supply to the brain. And vascular dementia, how I can describe that, there's problems with reasoning, problems with planning, problems with judgment, memory, thinking ability. Sometimes there's impulsive or inappropriate behavior. So there's problems with thought processes, and they're caused by the brain damage from the impaired blood flow to the brain. And these patients are tough to handle because they're not capable of making safe decisions. Their decision-making process isn't there, you know, and sometimes what they want it now, and they cannot reason. You can't reason with them of why they can't do that or why it's dangerous. So a form of dementia, those problems exist, and you have to go back and listen to the show. I know we talked about dementia in a previous show, and you know, with these type of patients, you have to keep your answers simple, questions simple, try to have, you know, get yes and no answers, your directions simple. You know, they may be asking you the same question over and over again. They're not remembering what you said. Their behavior isn't right. So you definitely, Georgette, need some kind of help, some kind of assistance. I don't know if you're taking care of Dad, if you have some help in the home. Even if you do, you probably need a break. So I don't, you know, if there's adult day centers in your area, you know, you're going to definitely need a break because this is a difficult thing to deal with. I'm working with a family right now. A son had called me, and he's a trained counselor. He has a very stressful job, and it's with law enforcement, and his mom had a stroke, and her part of the brain that was affected is that emotional and behavioral part. And he promised his mom, he's always promised to bring her home if anything happened. And her home situation isn't the best. She lives alone, but she has an ex-husband who lives in the same kind of complex, same complex that she lives in. And they divorce later on in life. And so, but they still see each other. They still see each other every day. And his dad is starting with dementia. So, you know, you have this ex-spouse coming over, and he was at the hospital, he told me, yeah, in the rehab, and his mom's been away for like 6 months. You know, she was in the hospital and she was in rehab, and they really did not think she was going to survive. And his dad was there every day. So they have this kind of, you know, relationship, even though they're divorced, but they see each other all the time. So his dad, you know, he brought his mom home, and his dad comes over with food and doesn't understand that his mom can't eat, you know, regular food, that her food has to be, you know, pureed, has to be put in a blender because she's not swallowing properly. So he hired someone, he said, from the rehab. You know, you'll find that a lot. You know, you're in a rehab and maybe there's an aide there. Maybe there's a person there. She's not an aide, he or she, you know, and they'll say, you know, oh, I can come home. You know, I can come to your home and help you. And so people hire them and, you know, they don't think about who am I hiring? You know, is this person qualified? Never mind, you know, who is this? Even though they're working in a rehab, you don't know. So he brought mom home, and mom is up all night. Mom is out smoking at 4:30 in the morning, you know, with her wheeled walker in the cold. You know, it's so it's cold here. So I'm saying to him, well, you know, where's mom getting cigarettes? I mean, that's like one of my first questions. And well, Dad, you know, Dad got her cigarettes. So, you know, and I said to him, well, you know, wait, you know, first of all, this is why you can't just hire someone, you know, because of course this person that's staying there is saying to him, I can't stay here. I have to get some sleep. She wants to leave. And he's saying, oh my God, now what am I going to do? And I said to him, you know, that's why you have to go to a reputable service. Yes, you know, they have a nurse. They have a nurse who's going to come out and she's going to figure out the right type of care. Because if you're bringing someone home, and you're bringing someone home especially, you know, this is a complicated condition because, you know, it's not physical where, you know, okay, physical therapy or occupational therapy, speech therapy, that's going to help. And, you know, we can hopefully build up the body and get them stronger. This is the behavior, you know, in the mind and the emotion. So this is tough. So you have to have the right kind of care at home. So, you know, I'm saying to him, you have to have the right service where there's going to be a nurse coming out and she's going to decide. And, you know, a 24-hour person may not be the right choice because if mom is up, first of all, she's coming out of rehab and her, you know, a lot of times when patients, the elderly come out of a hospital or rehab, their cycle is all mixed up, you know, so they're up all night and they want to sleep during the day. We have to get them back into the proper day-night cycle, number one. But number two, this possibly is due to, you know, her behavior, this impulse. She's just popping up and she's getting up, you know, and somebody has to be with her and be up with her because she's unsteady. And she can't be outside in the cold smoking. And, you know, so there's a lot of issues here. So, you know, I'm saying to him, you know, this has to be dealt with. And he's saying to me, you know, she was on Xanax before. Maybe I should give her Xanax. And you know, I'm saying to him, no, you have to have a service where there's a nurse. You know, what is her, we have to look at her discharge papers, her medicine. He's saying, she's on like 15 medications, but I don't think Xanax is on that list. I'm saying to him, well, you can't just give her Xanax because she was on that before, you know, 6 months before. So there's a lot involved. And, you know, there's a lot involved with a parent having a stroke and coming home. So you have to get that proper care. So, you know, we don't want to make a situation worse. And if you're the caregiver, you have to understand, you know, there's a lot involved. And, you know, it's tough when mom or dad is coming out of a hospital or rehab because there's not that, you know, there's not that proper care. I find that, and I'm fighting against that because we used to be able to have, you know, the care came out and it was seamless. You know, there was a discharge planner who, in fact, set up all this and worked with whatever care was chosen, you know, and they had the meeting before you were discharged, before mom was discharged, and we had the right type of care set up. And so today, you know, people come home and they decide this is what I want to do, but they're left, and, you know, like this poor man, he's like, I don't know what to do, you know, and he thought he did the right thing and he thought he made the right decision for mom, but it wasn't. So now, you know, he's got mom home and he's in this bind, you know, he's like, oh my God, he's worn out. He's overwhelmed, and we don't want that to happen. So you have to have the right answers. So, you know, I hope I've helped anyone, you know, in that situation, a patient coming out of a rehab or coming out of, you know, a hospital with any type of illness. These illnesses, it's tough, you know, mom and dad. So please, you know, call a gerontologist. Talk to a discharge planner. Get, you know, the right help before we get mom and dad home or before you make those choices. And now for my survival tip of the week. I know I've given you, you know, in the last 33 segments, I've given you all types of tips. This tip, what I'm going to tell you is just do what you want to do. Take 15 minutes, take a half hour. You know, what makes you unwind and feel good and feel comfortable and feel de-stressed? You decide and you just do it. And you just tell whoever, this is what I'm doing. And that'll be good for you because you forget about every tip I've given you because maybe one of them worked or maybe there's something that, you know, I didn't hit upon that's right for you. So you do what's good for you. I hope this week's show was helpful to you. Thank you so much for your emails and for liking us on Facebook and social media. Please continue to do that. And if you know someone who could be helped by this show, please tell them they can subscribe to the show using iTunes. You can find links to the topics we just talked about in the show notes for today's episode at parentsarehardtoraise.org. Believe it or not, this is episode 33. I'm here to help you, so please tell me if there's something you're struggling with. And I'm going to try to include it in a future show. Email me at Diane@parentsarehardtoraise.org. You can reach me through my website, DianeBerardi.com. You can follow me on Facebook at Parents Are Hard to Raise, and I tweet at Jersey Elder Care. And by the way, there are so many crimes against the elderly, and we had talked about that in a previous show. And next week, we're going to have on a nationally recognized security expert to talk about crimes against the elderly and, you know, how we can try to scam-proof our parents. So if you have any questions, please email me this week so we can bring them up to him. Parents Are Hard to Raise is a Counterthink Media production. The music used in this broadcast was managed by Cosmo Music, LLC, New York, New York, under license of Broadcast Music Incorporated. Thank you so much for listening. See you again next week.